Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful Wednesday. Do we have a lot to get into in today's show? I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, earlier today. We will play that for you coming up at 3:15. Usually, I would say that our conversations are kind of light. Things are always very sunny in Chiefs Kingdom. That is not the case right now, so we will play for you our conversation coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes with Patrick Mahomes. Joshua Briscoe is going to be on the show coming up in just a little bit. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you guys to tell one friend to check out the show. I'd really appreciate that. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for a place to catch up, watch the game, grab a bite to eat, grab a drink when you get off of work, a little happy hour, then look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. The weather is still good. You can sit on the patio, sit by the fireplace, catch the game, grab a bite to eat. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place to relax and wind down during a tough, stressful work week, then look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. So last week, I talked to you guys about two doors with the Kansas City Chiefs. And one door, if the Chiefs had one, would have been that everything stays the same. The hierarchy of the AFC continues to remain intact. And then the other door was somewhat panic. Well, we know what door the Chiefs walked through. So I'll continue the analogy because when I was a kid, I used to really love those choose your own adventure books. You guys remember those? Where you would start reading a book and you would come to a fork in the road. And you had to turn to this page to see what that version of the story was, or turn to another page, and you would just continue this windy road. Sometimes you would get the princess at the end of the story. Sometimes your character would die at the end of the story. But it was fun to see the different routes and alternate endings that a book could potentially have. We have kind of reached another one of those doors, I would say, with the Kansas City Chiefs regular season. So these are the two doors that I think we have right now, and I think that these are the two school of thought when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Door number one is that it's over for Kansas City, that the Chiefs have had an incredible run. They have had a 90s Cowboys kind of run. They have had a 70s Steelers, a 80s San Francisco 49ers. It was a early 2000s Patriots kind of run. But all good things come to an end. We have heard guys like Damian Woody talk about the aura that is gone from around the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think the aura is gone in Kansas City. I really do. I think this is a team where, you know, it's kind of like, you know, New England from the past, where in New England, you used to half the battle was mental going up against that team. But I think now these teams, you know, teams going into this game is like, the hell with Kansas City. Like we saw last year, they won a bunch of one score games on their way to Super Bowl and then getting shellacked by the Philadelphia Eagles. Guess what? This year, they're 0-5 in one score games. They're not able to finish these type of games. I don't think teams are scared of the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. They don't create explosive play. They got all their guys. All that we've been talking about, you know, getting Rashee Rice, you know, Rashee Rice back, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Ware, all these guys. They still can't create explosive plays. Still can't protect Patrick Mahomes. That Denver Broncos team, that deep, in particular that defense, got after his behind.
There are two schools of thought right now around Kansas City. That is one of them, that the Chiefs have had an incredible run, and that run has come to an end. There are people like Colin Cowherd, who I think salutes business, that think it's time for a soft reboot with the Kansas City Chiefs.
So I in my opinion, Kansas City needs a reboot. They have to rip the Band-Aid off with Travis Kelce. You can't have your star weapon be good five times a year. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off, final year. He'll be good if they get to the playoffs. And then one more year, a guaranteed salary with Chris Jones. To me, it's time to rip that Band-Aid off after next season.
So behind door number one, or thought number one that I think surrounds the Kansas City Chiefs, it is that this version of the Chiefs that have been as good as any organization in the history of the league, that's been to five of the last six Super Bowls, that's been to three straight Super Bowls, that has produced one of the three most successful and accomplished quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League, at least this version, this run, this iteration of the Kansas City Chiefs is over. But there is another door. There is another option right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is the belief that I think the public is on. This is the school of thought that I believe that Vegas is on. I don't care how down you are about the Kansas City Chiefs. The money ultimately tells you how people think and how people feel. Right now, for the Chiefs to make the postseason, they are minus 220. So we're talking about right now, you got to bet $220 to win $100 if you think the Chiefs are making. So they are still overwhelming favorites to make the postseason. They are 4.5-point favorites right now against the team that you could possibly argue is the best team in the National Football League on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. The other school of thought right now around Kansas City is, you don't want to see that team get hot. You want no parts of that team in the postseason. That, yes, the Chiefs have taken a little bit of a step back. I think that's undeniable at this point. When you win 15 games like you did last season, when you have won your division for 9 consecutive years and you were staring at the possibility of not having a home playoff game, that part is undeniable, that you are not the same team that you were a season ago and that you have taken a step back from the absolutely incredible standard that you have created over these last handful of seasons. But if this team can figure out a way to be the 6th seed or the 7th seed and play 6-1 football in the final 7 games of the season, you will want absolutely no part of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Jeff Saturday.
And I can tell you the other thing. Everybody in the AFC will be rooting for the Colts, bro. Because don't nobody want to see KC get hot and get into the playoffs with Mahomes and Andy Reid. So it's going to be – there'll be a lot of secret Colts fans this weekend, because everybody knows if they do get hot, that's the scariest team to go play. They've done it and proved it so many times. So it's going to be a heck of a ball game, that's for sure.
I obviously don't know how the rest of the season is going to play itself out. I believe the Chiefs are going to make the postseason. I think they will either be the 6th or the 7th seed. I think the Chargers, because of the injuries, fade in the second half of the season. Or I think Jacksonville ultimately fades down the final stretch of the season. And I think the Chiefs end up grabbing one of those 6 or 7 seeds when it comes to the AFC. if that happens, if I end up being right, if Vegas ends up being right, if the public ends up being right about the Kansas City Chiefs, that you cannot count them out, that the king stay the king until otherwise proven, that you got to see the Chiefs absolutely out of it and dead before you count them out and you're ready to move on from somebody else. I am telling you right now that the Chiefs, if they make the playoffs as the sixth or the seventh seed, they will be favored on the road in the wild card round. I don't know who gets the one seed. Maybe you think it's Indianapolis. Maybe you think it's Denver. Maybe you think it's the whoever you think it will be. They will not be playing. But that second team, whether it's Buffalo, New England, whomever it is, if it is Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid going up against Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones, I don't care how good of a regular season the Colts have, this is different. And you will not be in a position in which you are getting points with Patrick Mahomes in the postseason with Daniel Jones. That ain't how this works. They will not be in a position in Drake May in his first postseason game going up against a team that is as experienced in the postseason as Andy Reid is, as Patrick Mahomes is, as Steve Spagnuolo is, as Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. The public will not be siding with the New England Patriots in that matchup. Now, that's not to say that the Chiefs can't lose in the first round of the playoffs. Obviously, they can. But right now, those are the two prevailing wisdom. Those are the two schools of thought. It is over for Kansas City. They are done. Let's move on. And don't let this team get hot. Because if the Chiefs get hot, they will be absolutely considered dangerous once they make it to the postseason. That you will take a team that has all the experience, and they likely in the first round will be going up against a team with very little of the experience, and the feeling is going to be that the Chiefs have the advantage in that matchup. Now, ultimately, all of this is just talk. All of this is just conjecture. You got to go on the field on Sundays, and you got to prove it, and you got to put together a string of wins that the Chiefs have been unable to do so far this season. But everything other than the division is still right there for the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to let that thought go. The Chiefs are not winning 10 consecutive AFC West championships. But at this point, that doesn't matter. Find a way to get into the single elimination tournament, start playing better football, and you will take your chances in every single game in a coach and quarterback league, having the best coach and quarterback in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on Sunday and also look ahead to this upcoming Sunday against the Colts. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tune in on game day to hear him 3 hours before kickoff and immediately following the final whistle. Here's the new pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Kansas City wins the game!
Joshua Briscoe.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. Briscoe, how you doing today, my man?
I'm excellent, and I was just telling Rob something that I'll tell you that will change my reputation forever. My main goal today is to get my chainsaw out, chop up a dead tree in my backyard. I started a little fire a few minutes back. I am really moving like an outdoorsman today against all odds.
I like hearing that. Right now, we're happy to be joined by Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network. So, Briscoe, let's say that you were going to Home Depot. Let's say that you forgot something. So you were walking into Home Depot. Somebody recognized you and say, hey, you're that guy that covers the Chiefs. And they come up to you and they ask how the Chiefs lost or why the Chiefs lost on Sunday. What would your answer be?
Man, it would probably be a long, frustrated sigh and then something about the offense. I mean, I do think that's the place where you begin, where you say, hey, look, the offense had the kind of opportunities that you've always wanted this Chiefs offense to get all the way to the very end of the game, and they couldn't take advantage of any of those. It was a bad day to have a bad game for Rashee Rice. It was a bad day to miss a couple throws for Patrick Mahomes. The offense doesn't seem to have a real solid identity right now. I thought some of the stuff Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes said in their pressers today was interesting, but it's a combination of a lot of those factors. And before we parted our ways, I would remind them, hey, a lot of those underlying stats this year are still very, very good. In a lot of ways, this is a better offense than the one that was out there last year, but the results are the thing that matters, especially when you're 5-5.
The thing that is the most telling to me about this is, and I understand that last year the Chiefs were 11-0 in these one score scenarios, and that is not a sustainable model. But if you think about all of these games, it's really been mistakes in money time that have kind of done them in. Yep. It's been a bobbled interception. It's been a red zone interception. It's been a blocked extra point. It's been one or two mistakes in the final 5 minutes of the game that have really done the Chiefs in. And that used to be their calling card. That was their MO for the last 5 years.
Right. And that's the part of it that is so hard to kind of put my finger on, because you're right. When it works, it's clutch. And when it doesn't work, it's unlucky. It's like, well, that can't be entirely true. Right. And some of those examples are ones that you forget about halfway through the next week, of having 2nd-and-2 that turns into 3rd-and-3 in a no-shot throwaway, or getting to the 2-yard line with Kareem Hunt, but getting an illegal formation penalty that moves you back to the 22. It's effectively a 20-yard penalty because of the 15-yard gain that you lost. So all of those things compounding, yes, 100%. I think that is the biggest reason for 5-5. And the defense has had their share of those, right? For Justin Herbert to Trevor Lawrence and ups and downs against Buffalo. And the defense even had a moment to make yet another stop against Denver and obviously couldn't do it on 3rd-and-15. But the real question is, I think what you're getting at, why is the offense struggling in those moments this year where they were so, so good last year? And I do think some of it is just a fine margin between winning and losing. Some of it is one play getting made or one ball not getting caught. All of a sudden that happens twice. And if this team was 7-3, we'd be talking about them totally differently, but they'd be 7-3 on one or two plays going different ways. And let's make it the Jags and the Broncos games. Let's say they hit Xavier Worthy deep downfield in the opening drive. That's not even a crunch time moment, but that's a chance for the Chiefs to have the Broncos playing catch up from the very beginning of that game. You have one or two of those balls fall differently, And the season feels totally, totally different. I know it's not satisfying at all, but that really is what the NFL looks like right now. The whole league is that. I don't think the Patriots or the Broncos are 4 or 5 games better than the Chiefs or the Ravens, but that's how it shook out so far.
I mean, I'll take it one step further. I mean, if this team misses the postseason, it's going to be an extra difficult scenario because you're going to have not been better than the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, there aren't that many possible teams that could end up taking the playoff spot away from them. Let's say that Buffalo was going to end up being the 5 seed, but it's going to be a combination of the Chargers, Jacksonville, I guess you could say Pittsburgh or Baltimore, depending on who wins the division, or the Houston Texans. I feel very confident in saying that the Chiefs are better than at least 3 of those teams.
I would agree with you on that, and it's why I still think from 5 and 5, I still think they're going to end up in the playoffs. And then hilariously, like, the 7 seed Chiefs are going to be the story of the postseason of that first weekend if they do get to be. Oh, man, what a tough drop for the Chiefs, first time in a long time. And now you host Patrick Mahomes in the first round of the playoffs if it's just, you know, how it stands today. So I do think that that's the right way to look at it. But, like, the Jaguars are insane to me, insanely frustrating to try to make heads or tails out of, because the Jags have this huge win over the Chiefs on Monday Night Football in Jacksonville. Then they do not win another game until they go to the Raiders and beat them by 1 single point in overtime, right? Then they lose to the Texans, another team that's right there in the AFC wildcard race. The Jags lose that divisional game to Houston, and then they trounce the Chargers last week. So, like, what's the lesson there? Is the lesson that the Jags are, like, they would be the second best team in the AFC West? Or is the lesson that they are up and down like everybody? And I think it's more the latter, where, and man, if I was a Chargers fan, I'd be losing my mind even more than usual, where just they're a different team without their starting tackles. And this was a season where the AFC West was open for competition. And I don't know that the Chargers are going to be able to get to the finish line without having those bookends that they built so much of their offense around. And I believe that, and I'm telling you that right after this game against the Jags that just went, like, absolutely bizarre. So I don't know, maybe I'm being a little overreactionary this week, but that's the nature of the league right now. I think there are 3 teams who feel comfortable where they're at in the AFC. It's the Broncos, Patriots, and Colts, and I don't know what year it is anymore.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe with the Chiefs Radio Network. I understand that the answer is some semblance of both, but are you more frustrated right now with Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes?
I guess that's a good question because they are united. I'm not that frustrated with Mahomes. I'm disappointed with the misses on the deep shots. And obviously when he's pressing and he throws interceptions like that, it is frustrating. But I think I'm probably going to give Reed the angle on that because of the fact that this is what it looked like out of the bye. Like, I really felt good about the opportunity that, hey, you know, the first 9 games, like, this wasn't the version of the offense you wanted to see against Buffalo, obviously, but they have a chance to retool some things and come out a little bit fresher this week. And obviously nothing was fresher about what they did offensively against the Broncos. But again, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because if Mahomes hits that deep shot, we say, hey, during the week, they decided they're going to challenge the Broncos deep. They're going to get Riley Moss on penalties. And if you strike on a couple of those, you win the game. And that probably would have been the case. So I understand that it is absolutely hand in hand. When the offense is good, they're both gods. When the offense is struggling, we're frustrated with the coach and the quarterback. But I do wish this offense had something a little bit more identifiable about it right now. I wish they had leaned on the under center run game and made a harder pivot into that for the Broncos game. We've been talking about that since, like, week 4, I think. So I guess because it is, in my mind, like, it's Andy Reid's offense, he talks about 51% of the vote. I guess I'll give him 51% of the frustration there, because when they're doing well, he gets 51% of the credit.
Yeah, I would probably say my answer is maybe a little bit more on Patrick Mahomes than it is with Andy Reid. I think the 2 biggest plays so far this season for the Kansas City Chiefs have been the interception against the Jacksonville Jaguars and the interception against the Broncos, where if you could just change 2 plays for this team, they're in first place in their division, and we're talking about them like they're the best team in the National Football League. And we have done this for the last 5 years, where we have just constantly compared their quarterback to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, Tom Brady, he's the next Brady. Man, I don't know if Tom Brady loses that game last week the way the Kansas City did. And I know one thing is 5 and 5 with this team, knowing what they're up against, Tom Brady would find a way to get this team to the postseason. So I made this point yesterday. Man, the person who's going to have to wear this if they don't make the postseason is going to be their quarterback. He has been healthy all season, and they have done almost everything offensively that you need to do to support your quarterback. They went out and got him a left tackle. They spent the first-round pick on a wide receiver, a second-round pick on a wide receiver. Kelsey's having a bounce-back year. I know their run game is not ideal. There is enough talent there where you can be one of the top seven teams in the AFC.
And if I was going to play devil's advocate to that, and I don't know if I disagree with any of that, but if I I'll tell you what, Mahomes will be the guy that wears whatever happens here, just because he was wearing the Super Bowl on Twitter all offseason, and that was unfair. Or I mean, or guess he was wearing that he had fallen off somehow because of the bad Super Bowl, which I think obviously ages ridiculously. I guess I would also angle with the improvement on the offensive line, with the depth at wide receiver, with the fact that this is a better group through and through, and more talent on the depth chart than there was at this time last year. I would also ask, I guess, just why the offense has still felt so hit or miss, so hit a big play or struggle to get a first down, which obviously would reflect back to the offensive play caller and the structure of it all. So I think if Mahomes hits a couple of those passes, we're not talking about being frustrated with Andy Reid. If the offense is moving a little bit more smoothly, we're not talking about being frustrated with Patrick Mahomes. And I really do think, I know it's kind of a cop-out in a sports talk radio format, but like those two guys are so totally married together in what this offense can be. It's always going to be Reed's design and Mahomes' execution, and I think it'd be reasonable to say that neither one of those parties are happy with their own efforts this year.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe for a couple of more minutes here. Briscoe, who do you consider to be the favorite in the AFC?
It's a great question, that it's also the reason that I keep my optimism for where the Chiefs can go from here, because I kind of want to make it Buffalo. Like, I know they're in that 5 seed right now, and that's not really with a lack of belief in the Patriots, but it's so hard for me to envision the AFC Championship game ending with the Broncos or the Patriots or the Colts. And maybe this is Bo Nix or Drake May or Daniel Jones hoisting the Lamar Hunt trophy. And I buy what Drake May, the path that he is on. Like, I think that's legitimate. And I think all three of those teams have done legit things. I don't think that any of them are totally, totally fraudulent. But I don't know that I can tell you that it's a team that's completely new to that stage that deserves to be the favorite right now. So I kind of want to say Buffalo, and I watched them lose to the Miami Dolphins 2 weeks ago. So like, I understand that everybody's going to have one of those marks on their resume, but that's the direction I lean in right now. God, the Bills lost to the Falcons a few weeks back, too. I mean, truly absurd stuff, but I think I'll lean Buffalo.
Right now, we're talking to Briscoe for a couple more minutes here. It is interesting when you look at FanDuel and you look at DraftKings and you look at the gambling sites. Man, the public has not really wavered on Kansas City. They are still -220 to make the playoffs. They are a 4.5-point favorite at home against maybe the best team in the AFC. Like, the public, I think, is pretty clearly taking a stance. We are going to believe in Kansas City. We are going to bet Kansas City until you give us every single piece of evidence not to do so. It has been interesting, as I would say, at least up and down, the feeling locally has been just that when it comes to the Chiefs. That's not really been the case, at least nationally, or when it comes to the sports book and how the Chiefs are being perceived.
Right. And I think that's because here we are living and dying, not just every week, but I mean, every snap, every drive is an indictment on what's gone wrong or an explanation of why they're going to be in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the fan experience. And that's the up close, even just in media, that's the up close paying attention to every single step along the way. That's the experience that we sign up for. And it lets us pay more attention to the details, but it makes it a little harder for us to zoom out and kind of reevaluate what we're seeing. I think it makes total sense. The rest of the NFL world has finally learned the lesson this year that we've warned them about in years past, where it's like, yeah, I'm gonna count the Chiefs out before Thanksgiving. Sure, guys, I was born yesterday. I mean, that really has been the lesson of so many of these seasons with Reed and Mahomes and obviously Kelsey, Chris Jones, Spags, spread the credit how you want. You can see some of those moments where they slip up and you go, I don't know, this is the year that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to make it to the AFC Championship game for the first time as a starter. And then every single time, that's obviously been proven wrong. So I actually think it makes a lot of sense for the national angle to have a stickier view of where the Chiefs are at while we're here kind of riding this roller coaster on a week-to-week basis, while I think almost the entire league is riding that roller coaster on a week-to-week basis. And I'd be there with them, honestly. If you said, hey, again, like, who are your most likely teams to be in the AFC Championship game? The Chiefs aren't one. They don't deserve to be the favorites right now. I don't know that they're two. Maybe they're right around there. But you're not talking me into the Aaron Rodgers Steelers being more dangerous in the postseason. I don't think Trevor Lawrence and the Jags is realistic. So I understand entirely. Well, you'd say, yeah, I've learned my lesson here. This isn't a great Chiefs team right now, but those underlying metrics that do show more successes are encouraging. The weird end-of-game, crunch time, clutch stuff, that's an outlier as opposed to how they've handled those moments in years past. I think it makes total sense to remain a believer in where this team can go if they get into the dance. The bizarre thing now, of course, from us up close, is how they've gotten to 5-5 and what the path is to actually make the playoffs, which I still think, again, if they do, the entire national story that week is going to be, man, the Chiefs are traveling to whoever the two seed is. What a challenge. Maybe it's a rematch of the Colts. Maybe it's getting perhaps a rivalry kicked off with Drake May and Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. But I think the Chiefs deserve, off of their reputation over these last several years, I think the Chiefs deserve the spot they're in the books.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. Be sure to check him out on the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe, appreciate you.
Always good to talk to you. Can you tell that I was patting blood off my leg this entire segment? I need to have somebody else come cut these logs for me. I can't be trusted.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. Handyman. What was that from Home Improvement? Tim the Tool Man. That's who Joshua Briscoe is. All right, let's transition for a little bit, and we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up here momentarily. I have watched KU now for every dribble of two games. Now, I know they've played more games than that, but I'm not watching them play Green Bay. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm not watching them play UT Chattanooga. It's okay. I'll see enough KU basketball games to form my opinions. Those games, I'm out on. I'm going to give you my 1,000-foot view opinions based off what I watched yesterday. The first thing is very specific to this one game, but it's hard for me just to kind of shake. I have spent my entire life, every day of my life, in fear of Kansas. When you cheer for Missouri, there is a school that walks around you and they are clearly superior than you are. They have the iconic venue. They have the history. I mean, Wilt Chamberlain went to the University of Kansas. The rules of basketball are at the University of Kansas. Dr. James Naismith, the creator of the game, his name is on the floor. He coached at the University of Kansas. They are the standard. They are the blueprint. They are everything that is good and great about college basketball. And you're in fear of that. You're in awe of that in some ways. Hearing them talked about like a mid-major yesterday was very jarring to me. The entire tone of the broadcast was, well, we know KU can't win, but they're playing hard. Now, I agree with it. I didn't think the KU had a chance to win yesterday. The bookmakers didn't think the KU had a chance to win. There was never a moment in that game where I thought that Kansas was going to beat Duke in the game. But just to go from how I have felt about Kansas for almost every single day of my life to now hearing the broadcast pat them on the head for a moral victory, to see their fans happy that they just played hard and put up a good effort and didn't embarrass us, it's just not the Kansas that I grew up with. So it's uncomfortable. It makes me feel weird. I miss when KU had their swagger. They didn't have that yesterday, and I understand why they didn't, because of Darren Peterson. So that's number one. Number two, I don't want to take away from the fact of I did think that they played hard. And in a game in which I thought the other team just had more manpower, more bullets in the gun, more weapons, I thought that KU gave you a complete 40-minute effort. And I thought they did everything within their ability to try to win that game, and they just didn't have enough. And honestly, I actually think Bill Self failed them a little bit yesterday. I want to tell you guys something that basketball people know, and you probably know this too. Coaches foul out more players than the officials do. There was a moment in the game in which Florey got his second foul in the game. He got his second foul. KU was now at a crossroads. Coaches do this all the time. You're scared. You're worried about your player picking up his third foul. So you make the decision to sit down your player for an extended period in the game. When Florey was on the floor, KU had a chance. He was the only player on the team in the first half who had a positive plus-minus differential. When he was on the floor for Kansas, he was a positive and gave them a chance to win. When he was not on the floor, they had a 0% chance of it. I know it. You know it. Now, I know it's not realistic for Florida to play all 40 minutes of the game, but you can't make the decision where you take him out for a six-minute stretch that ultimately created a deficit that KU was never going to be able to get out from under. When that run started to happen, that is when you trust your Hall of Fame coach to call a timeout, and you got to roll the dice a little bit. And Bill, to me, seemed a little bit afraid to roll the dice yesterday. If Florey fouls out, then he fouls out. But you got to give yourself a chance. And sitting your best player and really your only super productive player in the first half of the game, sitting him for such an extended period of time, really did KU win and created a deficit again that they just couldn't get out from under. Duke just has better players and more good players than KU does, especially if KU's not going to have their best player and their lottery pick on the floor. So using Florey in that way and you making the decision to take him out is near the top, Rob, in reasons why Kansas lost the game yesterday.
So I first and foremost agree. The swing in the game, the biggest transition, the biggest moment, and as a KU fan, I look back and say, oh, they lost the game. KU was leading with 6 minutes to go in the first half. Now, there's a lot of basketball left, but the minute Florey was watching the game from the front row is the minute Duke got hot. And then Duke extended the lead. They got up by 8 at halftime, and they pushed the lead at one point out to 10 points. Without Darren Peters, you're not coming back from 10 points against Duke. You're just not. It was admirable. It was good effort to get down to 4. I mean, I think they had a 3 at one point. But your best player is out. Your second best player basically was also out for the end of the first half. That wasn't good enough. To your first point, maybe this is me having a dose of KU fan copium, as the kids call it. But I felt the exact same way the media felt, you felt, the broadcast felt, and how every KU fan felt. Man, they built this roster. They had this whole offseason mantra of, we're going to build around Darren. Darren's not there. And now they're playing a top 15, top 10 type of team in Madison Square Garden without that guy. And I thought, I even joked yesterday, this could be hands and feet. Man, they had this game down to one possession with 4 minutes to go. It was a 3-point game. I don't know that KU is better than Duke, but in a 3-point game with 4 minutes to go, it's just about execution, who makes more shots, who makes more better plays. And KU just didn't have a guy that could go make plays. That's what stood out to me is when it's money time, when it's go get a bucket time, with Darren Peterson watching in street clothes or in warm-ups or whatever he was wearing, KU just doesn't have the ability to do that. So, again, maybe it's full copium by me, but I do credit Kansas's role players for sticking around with a team that has a guy that's going to be a top-5 pick in the draft, despite the fact I don't really see it with Boozer, but that's neither here nor there.
This is the last point that I make, and I'm sure we'll get back to KU in a bit. Bill Self has done an amazing job at KU. He has done as well as KU as almost any coach in the history of college basketball this side of John Wooden and Mike Krzyzewski. Seriously. Better than Bob Knight. You can go up and down the list. Better than Tom Izzo. Think of great college basketball coaches. Bill Self has been better at Kansas than 99.9 of them. If he lets Melvin Council shoot another 3, he should resign as the head coach of the University of Kansas. He should resign. I'm serious. He should absolutely resign. I don't ever want to see that kid shoot another 3. He can't. He is one of 13. And when he finally got one to go, his confidence level was so high. And in a game that was close and you needed good possessions, Melvin Council comes down the court and then thought he was Kobe Bryant after he made a 3. He killed him. You already had a small margin for error, right? Like, you already had a super small margin. You can't have one of your worst shooters just coming down the court and shot clock winding down and Kobe. No, stop it. I'm Bill. Melvin Council cannot take another 3 the rest of the season at Kansas. He can't. And the moment you see him take a 3, I don't care what is happening in the game. I want you to call timeout and I want you to instantly sub him out and tell him every single time you do this, you will come sit next to me. That's how you correct that problem. Please don't let him shoot anymore. every time you let Melvin Council shoot a three, that's a stop for the defense every single time. And you couldn't allow those stops yesterday. So those are my thoughts. I give KU a lot of credit for what they did. They went out, they competed, they played hard, they could have had the had their heads down, they battled back, they made it. I'm telling you, it was possible. I'm telling you. Bill made some mistakes. Taking Florey out at the end of the first half and also having Trey White out. I mean, those are your two best players. Like, what are you don't have enough good players if Darren Peterson isn't there to do that. And after Melvin Council made that three, those two shots that he took at the end of the game, they gave you a negative percent chance of winning the game. Please don't let him shoot anymore, Bill. I'm serious. If you keep letting him shoot threes, just offer up your resignation right now. Let Curtis Townsend, let anybody. I'm serious. He was terrible. Awful is what he was. That's what he was. He was awful shooting the basketball yesterday. I got a toss-up question for you guys. We'll get to it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll play our conversations with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. I have a toss-up question to ask you guys. 913-586-7965. Which one of these signings do you feel has been worse for the Chiefs this year? Do you think it's Mike Dana or Christian Fulton? Now, Mike Dana this season, he has one sack and four tackles this season. For a defensive line that could desperately use a little bit of a push. For a defensive line that could just, they could just really, really use something. Mike Dana signed a 3-year, $24 million deal. He's making $8 million this year. You're not getting anything for it. He has one sack and four tackles so far this season. Christian Fulton, That was their big move on the defense this offseason. That was their big move. They didn't do anything else on defense this year. They retained their own guys, but the Chiefs didn't go out and add an edge rusher or, you know, add an impact safety. No, the Chiefs kept their defense largely the same from a season ago, and it was a very good defense. And I don't think their defense is bad by any means right now, but they made one addition on the defense, and he cannot get on the floor and just played in his first set of snaps since the Eagles game and was on the field for 10 snaps on Sunday. Which one of these contracts do you think has been the biggest blunder for the Kansas City Chiefs? Do you think it's been Christian Fulton or Mike Dana? Rob, before we get to the text line, 913-586-7965, I'll let you answer. Dana or Fulton, who's been the bigger disappointment?
I think the answer is Fulton, but it's not just for the on-the-field lack of production this year. I think the thought over at One Arrowhead Drive and by fans, and I definitely had this thought, when they signed Christian Fulton to a multiple-year deal, was that Christian Fulton would come in this year, he would be, you know, your nickel corner, he would be a starter for this year, and then next year, you would walk on Jalen Watson, and you would have a grouping of Noel Williams, Trent McDuffie, and Christian Fulton. And on paper, for 2026, that looked great. And in 2025, on paper, you had Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, and Christian Fulton. So the thought was twofold. Hey, we're good at corner in 25 and good at corner in 26 because we've added Christian Fulton. Watch out. That's why it's worse, is because going into next season, you're still straddled with his contract. Do we think he's going to get better after a year of basically not playing for the Chiefs? Probably not. You're probably not re-signing Jalen Watson. So now, because you got a net zero out of his signing, you're going into 26 being like, man, we need a corner, even though you're going to be paying Christian Fulton to not play next season. So I think Christian Fulton is the worst of the two deals, albeit both are bad. I lean toward Christian Fulton being worse.
I'm going to go with Mike Dana just for this reason. To me, they need far more help on the defensive line than I think they do at corner. I don't really think that corner is a weakness. Now, I hear what you're saying. This now puts you in a bind, not just for now, but in the future. Jalen Watson is probably going to end up signing a deal somewhere else. I just think he's going to sign a contract that the Chiefs just can't be able to pay. And I'm guessing that Christian Fulton is not going to be on the team next year. They're going to outright release him. Christian Fulton has played in 26 snaps so far this season, and to our understanding, has not been hurt for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he is just not a part of your defense. And sometimes you got to know when to hold him and you got to know when to fold him. I don't really know if the Chiefs are that much better if Christian Fulton is as advertised. I think the Chiefs are much better if Mike Dana is as advertised. Let's say that Mike Dana turned into Tashaun Wharton. Let's just pick a player that people know. If they could get 6.5, 7 sacks from Mike Dana, that's not an all-pro kind of player, but just the threat of having that guy as a third pass rusher along with Chris Jones and George Karlaftis means so much for this defense. That means when you decide to have your four down linemen and try to get after the quarterback, you got another guy. If you're somebody that believes that Chris Jones is getting double teamed and triple teamed, man, having another guy that you think can win on one-on-one matchups on the outside and beat his man is a tremendous advantage. I hear what you're saying, and this might be one of those questions where I don't know if there is a wrong answer because both contracts have kind of exploded in their face. But I mean, the Mike Dana deal is killing them right now. Killing them. They're not getting anything from Dana. They're not getting a whole lot from Charles Aminihu. And those are two guys that you are desperately counting on getting pass rush. You can be critical of Steve Spagnuolo, but if you got to draw up and be creative with the blitzes, ultimately that can be exploited. This team was supposed to be able to get pressure consistently with their front four, and they just can't.
I mean, both signings have been bad. Like, I think when the season ends, whenever that is, maybe this team goes all the way to the Super Bowl and, you know, we're talking about parades again. Maybe this team misses the playoffs. There's a wide variance what this team could be. But whenever we look back at the season and we look at the autopsy report of what went wrong that led the team to end up where they were at this point in the season, I think you're going to point to Brett Veach did not have a gangbusters offseason. And I think the whole conversation we're having here combined with the fact that, you know, Elijah Mitchell doesn't play. I know he's played 5 snaps this season, but he doesn't play. Jalen Moore is a very expensive backup who was needed at one point, but is a very expensive backup. And Trey Smith and Nick Bolton's contracts are just woof. I think there's going to be a time in Chiefs Kingdom this offseason, we look back at the 25 offseason and we go, that's why 25 went so sideways so fast, because Christian Fulton's a miss and Mike Dana's a miss. And the fact that I think it's, you know, a zero versus a 1.5 is the real problem with this Chiefs team.
And this is why, just as a team, why, you know, this offseason, you know, my theme is just going to be, you need something new. They can cut Mike Dana and save $9 million. Mike Dana cannot be on the team next year. He can't be on the team next year. You got to move on. You got to draft another Mike Dana, or you got to scour free agency. And if you got 3 years, $24 million and $13 million guaranteed, you can find yourself a capable pass rusher. You're not going to find a great pass rusher. He's not going to be a Pro Bowl caliber, but there are good 27 to 29 year old pass rushers that are available at $8 million a year. You just didn't get the right one in Mike Dana. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, I am happy that Isaiah Pacheco is back. We know you. You are a resident expert. I hate running back correspondent. Are you happy that Isaiah Pacheco is back?
I mean, I'm not unhappy. Like, it is clearly a player they need. They didn't run Kareem Hunt basically at all in the second half of the game last week. They did that same thing in Buffalo. Elijah Mitchell, we just talked about, is an idea. I know he's played 5 snaps. Super. He's a figment of my imagination. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, pass. No need to see him ever on the field again. And Breshad Smith is not developing at the rate you, I, or maybe the Chiefs would like to see. So I'm happy that they have what looks like an NFL-capable running back on the roster, and that's great. But I don't know that Isaiah Pacheco practicing is a cure-all for the running problems, but I don't know he makes it worse.
I don't think he's a cure-all either. I don't want to paint it like I think that he is a cure-all, but I just sometimes the proof is in the pudding. They only have one running back that they trust if he's not there. They don't trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They don't trust Elijah Mitchell. They don't trust Breshad Smith, at least not to give him carries. They throw it to Breshad Smith. They don't trust their other running backs with carries. And I know we can argue, well, you know, he averaged 4.6 yards. Oh, I don't care about that. If the only running back that you trust on game day is Kareem Hunt to shoulder the load, you got a bottom five situation in the National Football League. That I think Pacheco gives you a possibility of a little bit more burst and just a little bit more balance that you have in the run game. So I think this moves the needle. We'll see how much it potentially moves the needle. But if you can get back to giving Isaiah Pacheco, let's say you give him 9 carries on Sunday and you give Kareem Hunt 8 or also 9 carries, that's a better situation in the run game than I think that they currently have right now. And right now it's about what improvements can you make to your team to try to get this thing back on the right track as they get ready to head into this matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.